the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servant met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all of his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We are used to broken promises and empty words, words that are simply lip service, are we not? For example, this time of the year, politicians make campaign promises and they speak words of hope, only for us to later realize after the election that their campaign words were empty, non-binding, and that their words are unable to deliver what they promised. Let us not only pick on the politicians, for they are an easy target for us. Let us also think about the breakdown and the emptiness of spoken words in our workforce, in our jobs. Each and every one of us, yes, each and every one of you, have experienced the joys of hearing words spoken by your employer or supervisor only to find out that those words were empty. Words were spoken to you, giving you a promise in your job position or some sort of promotion or some sort of pay increase. But you later had the experience, the frustration, finding out that these words were not coming to fruition. Words have also been spoken to you by marketers. Words that we should know better not to trust, but words that we deep down hope are true. With four easy payments, you obtain this fantastic exercise video, which will then bring on an exercising journey of greatness to lose 30 pounds in 4 weeks. Purchase this product, and your wildest dreams will come true. Hitting a little more close to home, we see the breakdown and the failure of words in the family. Each year, the following words are spoken with sincerity and conviction in churches across our land. "I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, to love and cherish you in sickness and health, and be with you until death do us part." Yes, these words are spoken at hundreds of marriages across our land, only to find out that 50% of marriages in our country end in divorce. Divorce that tragically results in the death of a family, pain, unsettledness, and distrust of marriage, and the distrust of vows expressed in words. Indeed, you, yes, you have experienced empty words, as I have, words that fail to deliver, and words that are many times false. However, I suspect that you are much like me and that you have also failed with words yourself to others. You've made promises to your employers. You've made promises to colleagues and friends and family only to default on those promises, to default on those words, only to see that these words were not effective in having the results that you promised. Painfully, You've spoken words to your spouse saying things like this: trust me this time, it won't happen again. Everything's going to be okay. Only to find out that they are not. You've spoken words to your children, words that testify that you will be at that precious baseball game or that music recital, only to default and fail to follow through on your words. It is no wonder, my friends, it is no wonder why we are suspicious of words in our modern day and age. We have all been sinned against with words, words that were false and words that failed to deliver on what they promised. Furthermore, we are all guilty. Yes, all of us are guilty and know the guilt of sin when we speak false truths and speak empty words, words that have failed to bring forth the integrity that we hope to possess as Christians. Tragically, this is our human condition. We are broken and we are dead in sin, which results in broken and false and vacuous empty words. The consequence of this is that we are suspicious of words. In fact, we are so untrusting of words that we demand outward signs, things to validate and hold our very words in check. You know what I'm talking about. When we borrow money, we typically need to sign a contract that holds our word in check. We have to sign on that dotted line. When we submit a job application, we need to have references for the employer to call in order to verify if the words expressed on that application are true. Indeed, our words are typically not taken at face value. Thus, the need to place down payments, to sign contracts, shake hands, and so forth, because our word is not always our bond. Now God, he calls us to let our yes be yes and our no be no, that we are to be truth speakers. Yet we fail and sin with our words and need to have outward signs or tangible things in order to validate and hold our words and other people's words in check. Do you know, my friends, this is not much different. It was not much different during the times of Jesus. The Jewish population during that first century, they demanded signs. In order for something to be true and right, they wanted to see, as they say, proof in the pudding. And guess what? Jesus did give people signs. During the 3.5 years of his ministry, he traveled the countryside doing miracle after miracle, healing the sick, giving life to the dead. Yes, the lame walked, the blind could see. The buzz in the air was that this Christ did miraculous things. He provided outward signs. But why did he do these miraculous signs? Although Jesus performed these miracles and signs to make himself known and to lead people to faith in him, the underlying purpose in these miracles, in these outward signs, was to focus the people's attention on the words that he spoke rather than the signs that he did. You see, these visible signs, these miracles, these things that he did, like spitting into mud, bringing people back to life from the dead, They were all intended to point to the word that he spoke, to validate what he said. The signs and miracles were to be like a catapult that grabbed a hold of the people and launched them to the person of Jesus himself and his faithful, true words that he spoke. You see, my friends, Christ is much different than you and me. Whereas our words are many times false and powerless, Jesus' words are true and powerful. Where we demand signs to validate words, Jesus gives signs and miracles to point us back to his words. Yes, where we demand signs to validate our words, Jesus gives us signs and miracles to point us back to his words. Now, in the case of our gospel, the gospel reading from John that we heard today, the Jewish official is insisting that Jesus comes to the place where his son was at the point of death. In response, Jesus said this to him: unless you see a sign and wonder, you will not believe. And what Jesus is addressing is the problem that the people of the day many times had. They became distracted by the miracle and the signs of Jesus and simply regarded him as some sort of mere miracle worker, some magician who had some tricks up his sleeves. They saw the miracles and the signs, and they failed to see the one doing the miracle, Christ himself. They had faith in the miracles and the signs. Therefore, as we heard in the gospel lesson today, Jesus does not go to the official's residence to heal the son, but rather he speaks the word. Go, he says. Go, your son will live. Jesus is taking this man from a miracle and sign faith to true saving faith in his very word, that by the power of him proclaiming that word of that son to be healed, it would be done as he says it is so. You see, my friends, what makes Jesus the Messiah is not that he can do some miraculous stuff, even though that is tremendously powerful, but that he actually is the Messiah, that Jesus' words are actually true and powerful. Now, do you see the significance of this, my friends? Jesus speaks a word, and the official's son is healed instantaneously. Jesus does not go to the man's dying house on purpose. He does not go, and the reason is so that the official would trust the truthful, powerful word of Jesus, that he has power to speak that healing into existence by his word and his word alone. Unlike you and me and the people of the first century, Jesus' word is true, and his word is powerful. The word of God actually does stuff. The word of God, it does stuff. In the Old Testament reading from today, we hear about God creating this world, everything that we can see, everything that is before us by the power of his word. God said, "Let there be light," and so it was. As God speaks the world into existence in Genesis 2, we also see Jesus, the Son of God, declaring that the official's son was healed, and so it was. And get this, as Jesus speaks the world into existence, as Jesus speaks healing into that official's son, God also speaks faith into existence in you and in me. Each and every Sunday, dear friends, you come to this church. You come to the divine service to hear the word of God. Every time that you open the scriptures, God speaks to you. Every time you hear the word proclaimed, God's word is spoken to you. His word is not just some mere information that you are to act upon, but it is living and it is active. The word is like a double-edged sword. It is like a hammer. The truthful word of God, it actually invades you and me. It interrogates us and exposes our sin. Thus it kills us and delivers promises to us. The word does this because it is true and because of the Holy Spirit working in and through the word. The word breaks through and it wounds. The word comes against our old Adam, our sinful nature, and ascribes redemption solely to the blood of Christ. Therefore, my friends, this morning, right here, right now, open your ears. Open your ears. Listen to a new word. Listen to God's word for you. Christ is risen. Your sins are forgiven. Yes, my friends, hear God's word this day. You are forgiven. You are clean by the word of God spoken to you. Now, just in case your old Adam, your sinful nature, and the world and the devil tempt you to believe otherwise, to believe contrary to God's word, let me announce to you that God has given you and me several tremendous nuggets. Signs, actually, if you will. Not signs that are meant to be a means to another end, but visible signs that deliver God's word in tangible, real, encouraging, physical ways to you and to me. In other words, when the old Adam rises to speak counterfeit words, false lies, and so forth, tell the sinful flesh this: I've been baptized into Christ. You no longer live, for the water and the word has drowned you, you old Adam, you sinful nature. I have been buried with Christ, and I am resurrected anew. When the world rises forth and speaks counterfeit words and false lies and so forth, tell the world this: I am dead to you, and you are dead to me, O world. For I have a seat at the great feast, a great feast where I hear truth and I hear promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. I feast where I receive the body and the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ for me. And when the devil, that sly old serpent, rises to speak counterfeit lies and words to you, tell the devil this: Dear devil, the tomb is empty, for you surely know that it is true, for you yourself heard the words of victory of my Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, that he indeed finished everything for me. Yes, tell the devil this: I am indeed a poor, miserable sinner, yet I have heard the absolution from my pastor, who in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ proclaims to me that I am a sinner who has been clothed in the blood of Christ. Indeed, tell the devil this: Jesus' word is true, and he has promised me salvation. He has promised me redemption and forgiveness. Evil one, you should surely know this, for Christ even descended into Hades, into your domain, to announce his very victory to the evil foes, a victory that he accomplished for me. Dear saints, dear blessed baptized saints, God's word is true. It is effective, and it is especially for you. In the name of Jesus and his powerful word for you, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.